This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kemp. If you live in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, you may be familiar with Ute Litnaufyat. It's a workforce development center in Bethel where people train for local jobs. Until recently, it was the only facility of its kind in the region. KYUK's Desiree Hagen reports on a new job training center that has opened on the Middle Kuskokwim River.
The center opened at the end of January in Aniak. It's operated by the Kuskokwim Corporation, a tribal corporation composed of 10 Middle Kuskokwim River village corporations. The name of the training center is
Ogovik, is in our region's Yupik dialect, sharpening stone.
That's Kuskokwim Corporation CEO and President Andre Agusti.
And so when we think about our region and its needs and the mission of the Kuskokwim Corporation, we say we're cutting a path to a better future for our shareholders.
But training won't be limited to shareholders. It will also serve residents of the area, all at no cost to students. Right now, it's a place where people can get help writing resumes, applying for regional scholarships, and connecting to job training in other cities. Cultural workshops such as caribou tufting and net mending are planned for spring. Vocational and technical trainings are also in the works. For village residents, this means education closer to home.
So somebody does not have to go to Bethel or to Anchorage or to Seward or to Palmer. They can receive trainings close to home in their own backyard. And in some cases, if they're in Aniak, go home at the end of the night and be with their family.
The building is housed in a former elementary school owned by the Kuspuk School District. The old school will require renovations to provide dorms and workspaces.
We turn this into the training facility that we want. And when I say that, you know, adding the dormitories, creating a metal shop and a wood shop and a computer lab.
These renovations will provide hands-on experience to students, such as carpentry and HVAC training.
Anytime there is a nail that needs to be nailed or something that needs to be installed, that we will be training our people every step of the way.
According to Gusty, the training center hopes to also offer virtual trainings to Kuskokwim Corporation shareholders who live outside of the region. The training center is also partnering with other facilities throughout the state, such as the Northern Industrial Training Center in the Matsu Valley and the Ute Litnaufyat Center in Bethel, to bring more training options to the area. They want to meet current needs and prepare for large projects that might come to the region, such as the proposed Donlin Gold Mine.
We envision this being a place where people can receive trainings for jobs today and then also jobs that they may want in the future. Donlin may or may not be one of those things.
Anyone interested in more information on how to connect with the Aniak Training Center can call 907-675-4275. That's 907-675-4275 or email info@kuskokwim.com. In Bethel, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Next, in child welfare. When a child enters the foster care system, it often means being removed from their family, a traumatic process that disproportionately impacts Native children. A new study from the University of Alaska Anchorage explores alternative child welfare strategies to limit family separation. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports one of the study's author has seen firsthand how the system negatively impacts Alaska Native families.
For more than 8 years, Sunaguk Jessica Orrick worked for the Alaska Office of Children's Services. Orrick is a NUPAC and enrolled in the Nome Eskimo community.
My whole passion has been about ending the disproportionate number of Alaska Native children in out-of-home care. And I felt like I did everything that I could within the system to create change, but the number stayed the same.
Of the more than 3,000 Alaska children in out-of-home care, roughly two-thirds of them are Alaska Native or American Indian. Alaska Native people only make up a fifth of the state's population. In order to address the disparity, Orrick left OCS to go back to school and get her doctorate in social welfare. In her dissertation, she interviewed people with experience in the child welfare system, including Alaska Native foster care alumni and relative caregivers, as well as foster parents. She says she heard stories of trauma from the separation of families and loss of culture. She equates it with trauma experienced by Native children in residential boarding schools.
What happened in the past is still happening today. And I feel like there's not enough attention or recognition that the current policies of child welfare are slanted towards removal.
In a new study published this month by Ulrich and fellow UAA social work researcher Yvonne Chase, the two looked at an alternative approach to child welfare. Their framework is built around empowering families and communities rather than removing children. That means acknowledging past trauma, working to get families the resources they need, and shifting the focus towards reunifying families. Ulrich says instead of finding more foster care families, OCS could look for safety plan participants. In that role, people would check up on families to make sure they're okay rather than remove children and take over caregiving responsibilities.
I don't have the ability, time, and resources to be a foster parent right now, but I'm assisting and I'm helping to preserve a family and keep them, the children with their parents if at all possible.
Ulrich says communities might be able to handle their own child welfare cases through more preventative measures. She points out that the Yupik village of Quingilingok is already doing that through its child protection team.
Quingilingok showed a drop from like 20-something cases to zero in a relatively short amount of time because there was that relationship and connectedness that happened among the community members. Checking in, how are you? How can I support you? What's going on?
Ulrich says in some cases it's still safer to remove the child from their home, but using preventative measures would drastically reduce that need. But funding this community-centered approach to child welfare has been a problem for decades. Chase, the other author of the study, put forth similar recommendations to the first Bush administration in the early 90s. Chase says addressing child welfare goes beyond OCS. It would require top-down approaches to byproducts of generational trauma, including poverty, substance misuse, housing, and food insecurity. However, she says these preventative measures aren't well-funded.
Every time we move funds from something like investigation and removal to prevention, we lose the funding. And so I think there's also a reluctance on the part of systems, of agencies to do that because they know that in budget crunch times, that's what goes.
Chase and Ulrich hope their research will show stakeholders that to enact real change in child welfare systems, lawmakers and administrators will have to look beyond where families are and instead address how they got there. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Quiana, for listening to KYUK News. Please email us your news tips, comments, or suggestions to news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.